Welcome to another Early Years Learning Hub podcast. My name is Jackie Ward and I am the founder and managing director of the Early Years Learning Hub. This podcast is part of our series titled Practice Sharing, where myself as a teacher have a chat to other teachers and leaders in the early childhood space. And today we're talking about a few different topics over a little set of podcasts. And we're talking to Sue Garrett, the director of one of the excellent rated services, Explore and Develop at Annandale. And we're going to be discussing four topics all together: sustainability, technology, excursions, and leadership that Sue and her team do really well over the course of those four episodes. And I'm going to hand over to you, Sue, if you would like to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and your professional journey.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Jackie. As you said, I'm the director and the nominated supervisor and approved provider at Explore and Develop Annandale. And we're part of a franchise group of services that only operates in Sydney and the ACT and the Central Coast, I suppose. So really local New South Wales, close to Sydney. I've been the AP of Annandale for 12 years. We opened at the start of 2013. And we're a long day care centre really close to the centre of Sydney on the rooftop of a supermarket. Everybody always sort of goes, oh my God, how do you do that? So we'd have 56 children from birth to school age, preschool, every day.
That's awesome. And when did you first apply for your excellent rating?
That was a job we did in 2024. So we got that rating in November 2024. So, no, sorry. That's a whole year.
I thought it was a bit longer.
Yes, it's November 2023 we got that rating. The years awesome. Are skipping away. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. And all right, well, should we jump straight into our first topic, which is sustainability? Yeah. And sure. Obviously this has, had a real sort of strengthening in the updates to the Early Years Learning Framework and My Time, Our Place. So something that I'm really happy about that, you know, whenever there's a strengthening in policy documents, that tends to sort of make everyone focus a little bit more, but it also kind of aligns a little bit more with the National Quality Framework focus as well. So what are your thoughts on the inclusion of the new principle and what do you think, how do you think it will sort of impact services?
I know I'm personally really excited about it, and I know our team at Annandale is. Sustainability has been a really big, important part of our journey. And I think for a long time at Annandale, we've thought about sustainability in these three dimensions, but it obviously wasn't articulated until the new EYLF as explicitly as it is now. Environmental sustainability is just like it to me, it's a no-brainer that we should all be doing as much as we can to be environmentally sustainable and include that in our practices with children and with families and, you know, with each other in our general practices of running a service. Economic sustainability is something that is really an interesting thing for educators to get their heads around. The EL, Mel Elderton, who works with me at Annandale, she did some research on this last year about how educational leaders are working with this new practice, and it's something that she's continuing to research. And myself as an AP and an NS, I have the autonomy and the ability to really think about this economic sustainability and to action that. So things that I would think about are when we actually purchase resources, you know, our first thing is, do we actually need something new? If we need it, where do we get it? Can we repurpose? Can we recycle? And then if we have to buy something new, how do we ethically get that thing? So, you know, we don't just rush to Kmart at the drop of a hat to get something that we think we might need. We really think through that. But if I'm an educator in a classroom, how is my leadership team supporting me to make those decisions? How are they leading our service around that economic sustainability? And if you're part of a bigger organization, how's your organization supporting you as a service to actually think about and make those decisions? Like, you know, it's
definitely a lot trickier, I think, when you've got, because you do need systemic support to be able to think and do that. But I just even like the fact, because I think that what you talked about at the start there, the idea that just thinking about your purchases and really critically reflecting on whether or not there's a need for a purchase is something that each individual educator can do even on their own. Do you know what I mean? That level of thinking about it and reflecting on it doesn't require a lot. And to build, I guess, on some of your thoughts around that, I also think it's an opportunity, as you mentioned, ethical purchases. So where are those things sourced? What materials are they made of? All sorts of different things. And for me too, I'm a big passionate enthusiast for Australian made products as well, because otherwise we don't have a future of Australian jobs, you know, for our children. So that's an opportunity for me to think about that as well. So I'm really excited about the fact that we've been encouraged, you know, pushed, if you like, to go a little bit further with our thinking around sustainability. And I guess the third dimension that I'd love to, you know, chew your ear off on, Sue, is the social sustainability. I mean, I mentioned it a lot in terms of like reducing the burden for everyone. For me, that's what it means really significantly. So if I can make something easier for families, then that's socially sustainable, you know, that idea that, you know, I don't have to make them jump through a hoop if it's not necessary. You know, can I do something that's easier for them? And the same with my team of educators. Is there a way that I can contribute something or change the way we do something or discuss as a team if we could find an easier way to do it? Then that's being socially sustainable as well.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think I've been doing some research around retention in my studies, and educator retention is a huge issue in our sector, and it fits into this social sustainability of how do we support educators in their roles, which is just what you were saying. You know, what are the little things that we can do that will make their life easier, which is often just having some really clear roles and descriptions is really important. And I hadn't really thought about that with families, but things like, you know, that's interesting you say that, because we, for example, we provide sheets and blankets and stuff at our service, and so all the bedding is provided by us, washed by us, and I see that in as a hygiene and a reducing cross infection, but I also see it in supporting families to reduce the burden that they have to remember all of these things and bring. So I suppose it falls into that. I also see social sustainability in, you know, our role in advocating for children and supporting or building children's capacities to be advocates for themselves is really important. And that's something that we do quite a lot in Annandale, where we, you know, might write letters to the council or politicians or, you know, on issues that children are interested in. So I think
that's a great one. I hadn't really thought about that, but that's definitely a take on it, isn't it? That idea that we are building social capital in, you know, people's understandings and understanding of children and respect for children, because they are very clever, knowledgeable people, and they do grow up to be voters and all that kind of stuff, and they can be very active citizens, can't they, you know, if we empower them.
And I think just being, as educators, being activists for our sector as much as possible.
Yes, for sure. Well, that's awesome. So that ties in nicely to our next kind of topic about involving children and families. So how do you sort of get people on board your sustainability kind of focus?
I suppose there's two lenses. So there's things that might happen from a systemic sort of point of view that happen in our service. So, for example, when children are enrolled in our service, every family gets a wet bag, and that's a clear indication to that family that we don't want to use plastic bags to put their children's belongings in. So that bag stays with that child for the whole time that they're enrolled with us, and the families take it home if it's needed to be, you know, it's filled with, if there's a toileting accident or they've been playing in the rain or the mud or something like that. So I think just having those clear indicators and signs throughout the service that we're actually doing sustainable practices, things like having a compost and having children involved in using the compost. They'll often go home and say to their mum and dad, well, you don't put that in the bin because we could have a compost and we can recycle that waste. So there's that kind of that level, but then there's also what actually happens in pedagogy, and so projects that we might have going on, which are often around sustainable practices. So one of the ones that we, a project we started, I think in about 2018, was our boomerang bag project. And at that time you could still, we're upstairs from a supermarket, and at that time you could still get your groceries in a plastic bag. And we have a canal that runs alongside our service. So the children would often see plastic bags in the canal, and they were saying to us, like, you know, how do we stop, you know, all this rubbish being around? And we would, when we're out on excursions, be picking up rubbish and things. So they investigated how many plastic bags were used by the supermarket and all that sort of stuff. And we found that this concept of a boomerang bag, which is a reusable tote bag essentially that you you make out of recycled fabric or unused fabric, and you make it, you use it, you can use it at the supermarket and leave it at the supermarket, return it back to the supermarket, or actually what really happens is you just have your boomerang bag and you take it to the supermarket all the time. And I think we're all very used to using these types of bags now, but that's probably 6 years ago, they weren't used. We just started using them, making them, I should say, in the year that we made them with these preschool children. We made over close to 400 bags. The parents, we had parents cutting fabric and coming in and sewing and all of that kind of stuff. And now it's just an embedded practice that they're just continuously making boomerang bags. Visitors are given boomerang bags when they come to visit. And each preschooler makes their own bag. They make at least one a year for themselves that they take with them when they leave at the end of their time. But it really started our embedded practice of making and repairing, which
I love that.
You know, if a cushion is frayed or broken, then it just goes to Heather, who is our educator, who mostly uses a sewing machine, and she will work with the children and they'll fix it, or they make tablecloths and, you know, that sort of stuff. So that's been a really positive experience.
That's amazing. I know that years and years ago, I used to own my own long daycare service, and I was very passionate then about sustainability and, you know, using lots of, you know, the worm farms and the gardens and the recycled materials in the sandpit, all of those sorts of things. And I remember thinking, you know, like a parent come along to me when I was sort of organising the shed, as you need to do every other minute because everything gets all tossed in together. And she was sort of, oh, what have you got there? It's all that junk, you know. And I'm like, oh, I was a bit offended and thinking, well, how could she not realize that that's sustainable and we're all about that, it's part of our philosophy. Anyhow, I sort of went back to find the little reference to it, and then I realized that I hadn't included that in our philosophy, and I thought it's one of the things that, you know, you really need to think about. What are those really core values that you have that are really important at your service, and they should be included in your philosophy? And also the fact that you want to be talking to families a lot about it, don't you? You want to be talking about why you think those things are important. You know, you want to say that it links back to, you know, our curriculum learning framework, you know, and that's something that carries over into school with the cross-curriculum priorities as well, you know. So it's a nice thing, I think, to be letting families know that it's an important part of the learning, you know, program, I guess.
Yeah, they should be able to see it everywhere.
Yeah, that's right. It should be obvious that that's a really important value. Now, I know that you've talked a little bit about your boomerang bags, but we've also, would you like to share any other examples that you've got of planning for learning around sustainability with children?
We'll talk more about excursions later, but our connection to our community is pretty huge. Like, all of our children, from the babies through to the preschoolers, go out on excursion. So they go, which is what we just say, they go out the gate pretty much all the time. So we're recording this and we're like 3 weeks into the year. Already our 2 to 5 year olds have already been out on excursions and stuff like that. So that is where most of our program and our projects evolve from the children being out. I'll talk about that more a bit later. But for example, at the moment, the children are investigating the turtles that live in one of the local wetlands close to us, the White's Creek wetland, and there are turtles that are living there. And through some other connections with the council has said to us that they feel that these turtles are disappearing and they're wondering what's happening to the turtles. So our reasoning for being out on excursion is to expose children to the environment and to the community, both the built community that we live within, but also to nature. So we don't take very much out on excursion with us. We're not going to playgrounds. And even though we're in the city, we find lots of little pockets of nature that we visit, and we rotate our visiting of these places so that we are looking after the land and we're not doing we're not damaging it. And we also have very strong values around not taking anything from the parks that we go and visit. So probably 5 or 6 years ago, we might come back with some branches and use those in our space, or we might pick flowers or things, but that is absolutely not anything we do now. We try and leave the space as we found it.
It's a really nice tie into some Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander perspectives there, isn't it? That cultural value of, you know, not impacting on the environment and taking away from the land, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So when we get out on our excursions and we sit, we will do an acknowledgement of country and we will talk about the space that we're in and what do we notice there and everything, and thank the space for having us for that period of time that we've played there and leave it as it was. So
That's beautiful. And I think you've mentioned sort of a couple of things there that it's, you know, that I think the sort of two main concepts around environmental sustainability are the, you know, the waste, and because children often know, but you know, which bin does this go in? Even if they don't know what particular item it goes in, they know that it goes into a different bin, so they've got that understanding. Yep. But I think there's opportunities always to take that further, and I know with my preschool children last year we explored like what happens to the waste after it and waste management and how that sort of all works. And also the second stream I think of is that ecological understanding of life cycles and what do living things need and all that kind of stuff. So it's
And I think when you're going out on a regular in regular times to explore your space, you can see how it changes throughout the year and what the trees are like in the summer or the winter. You can see what it's like when they're flooded or when you're in drought and the impact of weather and the environment or the bigger environmental factors on our environment as well.
That's a really good point. They don't get that if they're just, within the space necessarily, do they? I mean, obviously, if it's stormy or whatever, they might not be able to go outside and play, but it's a really good point. And I was just thinking there, I guess, to bring back that sort of social dimension as well. Like, it feels to me like how you're describing things as the children experiencing well-being as well, which I think is a nice tie-in for children around social sustainability as well, isn't it? That idea of taking time and, I think, I don't know if there's, research around it. I think there is that being outside helps your mood and helps, to establish that well-being and all that kind of stuff. So, and I think people overlook the fact that little people can experience anxiety too. So it's nice to think that you have that, especially in our rush world that we live in.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I think we don't sometimes we don't give children enough credit of what their capacity is to understand these bigger issues. And I don't think, because if we go back, just remembering pre-COVID, we went through the bushfires and the drought and stuff all through definitely in New South Wales, and it was quite a time when there was a lot of anxiety. And I think we need not to get caught up in too many bigger world issues in great detail with children, but can actually give them hope about the things that they can do in their environment. And so doing things like watering the garden and looking after plants and planting vegetables or plants that they can actually use in, for example, we've got, say, lemon myrtle and a lot of herbs in our service. And so our preschoolers have a tea ceremony every afternoon where they will use the lemon myrtle in their tea. Like, that's quite a productive, practical thing that children can do. And they're learning to look after the lemon myrtle tree, and not pick 50 leaves from it, because, that's not great for the tree. But, that's giving them hope and some positive things they can actually have impact on.
Yeah, and I think you're right there. We can't assume that children don't know. They're exposed to that, aren't they? Because they're exposed to digital information all the time. Whereas, in times of the past, children probably wouldn't have been as aware of things like bushfires unless it was right in their own community, would they? Whereas we've just flooded with information now, so it's about helping children process it in a way that's manageable.
And I think sort of going back to that, actually, I'm just thinking about where it fits. It's probably more in that sustainability, but like environmental sustainability. But just, as a team and as a leadership team, thinking about those things like getting grants for solar panels to have on your roof and trying to reduce the amount of paper that you have, like going digital as much as possible. There are some little things that you can do as an educator or a leader to make a difference, and make your
Yeah,
service more
definitely.
sustainable.
And I think always talking about all those things with children and families as well, the reason behind the choices that you're making, because that's, I guess, making that learning about sustainability more visible, isn't it, for everybody, families
That's
and
right.
children alike. Well, that sounds like a nice place to wrap it up. Thank you so much for sharing all of that wonderful information. I definitely have gotten a few ideas to lock away for my practice this year. So yeah, I'm going to sign off now and say thank you for joining us, Sue, and we will see you on the next version in our little set on the Early Years Learning Hub podcast. Thanks again.
Thanks.